With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, welcome back to Deep Dish Radio. I'm Tim Powers. Today, my guests are my friends, the New Monkees. In 1987, the producers of the original Monkees TV show decided that they wanted to do it again, if you'll pardon the reference to the album. And they have they hired four wonderfully talented actors and musicians to star in a TV show that aired only half of its contracted episodes in syndication. They also put out an album that deserves some respect. Great musicians, the guys themselves played on it, the vocals are fantastic, the songwriting is by the guys themselves and some pros, and if you're a fan of 80s pop music, I encourage you to go to YouTube and check out New Monkees and see what they did. The New Monkees story is fascinating. It is, as my friend Marty Ross says, it's a lesson in what not to do in Hollywood. And the guys got together for their 30th anniversary reunion in Los Angeles just a few days ago. And I got to sit them all down. And this is what we got. The guys are brothers in arms. There's no question about it. They went through hell and back because they were treated poorly by the press. They were treated poorly by just about everybody who could treat them poorly. They got dumped on pretty hard, and they bonded. And there is a brotherhood and a friendship that I, as an outsider, observe and admire. And I got to know each of the four guys, some better than others. But each one is, as they say, a good egg, and certainly don't deserve the pile of shit that they've gotten over the years. So in order to set the record straight, I sat them down, and we decided to go through the New Monkees story a little bit. And, well, you see what happens when you get four guys who are a little crazy and a lot of fun. These are four very talented, very funny men who have a story to tell. Have a little bit of an edge to them, and for whatever reason, I'm sorry, but they can't stop beating on the table that the microphones are sitting on, so you'll get that a little bit. So today, you're going to meet my pals Dino Kovas, Jared Chandler, Larry Saltis, and Marty Ross, the New Monkees. But before we do that, if you like what you hear, be sure you head over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Let me know what you think about the show, and if you leave the review, it makes it easier for other people to find this show as well. If you like what you hear, put it up on your Facebook page. Go ahead, be my guest. Post it out to your social media. Tweet it out. Email episodes to your friends. I don't care. Just get it out. If you like what you see, it's good to share. Check out the previous episodes. If this is your first time here, welcome. Make yourself comfortable. There's some very... If you like this show, you'll like a few of the others that are in the catalog, and we hope you stick around. So here we go. The New Monkees. My involvement in this interview is negligible at best. I am barely a ringmaster. One of the people at the event said I did a masterful job herding cats, and I suppose that's exactly what it is. I kind of just asked the guys a question and got out of the way. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Marty.
You've got...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, live around the world, the New Monkees!
Wow, save your voice.
Save your voice.
Yeah, we are
dying. Sorry, 10 years ago there were no kids allowed.
Okay, so as part of this is audio, and it's been a while. Let's start at that end of the table. Introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
Hello, my name's Dino Kovas.
Hi, I'm Jared Chandler.
I'm Larry Saltis.
I'm Marty Ross.
And I'm really Tim Powers, though? And who cares? Yeah. all right, so we are back after 30 years with the New Monkeys, and there's a lot of stories to tell. I know there's a book in the works right now, but let's talk a little bit about how everything got started. Do you guys remember where you saw the ads or how you were recruited to be part of this or how you got involved? We'll start with Dino and work our way down.
A friend of mine, hi, Tim. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here at the Art Rebel Studios.
Yes.
You didn't even say that.
Thank you, Art Rebel Studios.
Thank you, Ponte.
Yeah, where's
thank
Ponte?
You. Thank you, Ponte.
Thank you, Art Rebel.
Thank you.
This is awesome.
God, Ponte, I love you like a brother.
It makes me want to paint like a Picasso.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
Sell them. You new monkeys, you.
When in Sherman Oaks, be sure to visit.
Oh. Tim, the stories I could tell you of me and Ponte.
It's another show.
Yes. So what my friend Anna Herniak saw saw an ad on MTV saying that they were going to audition for New Monkeys. I you know, being from the wrong side of the tracks, Tim, we didn't have cable. So I always had to run over to my friend Steve Herniak's house to watch Raising Arizona or, you know, things like that. Anyway, so they told me that they had seen something from on MTV. And she was joking, and she was like, why don't you go and, you know, audition? I was like, yeah, okay, where am I going to get the money? And then, you know, my car got hit twice in 6 days. Huh? I like that, huh?
There's your money.
Can you roll to the next, the next thing we're going to say?
Okay. Come on. All right. Come on.
Jared?
Okay. I also saw a piece on MTV about a big open casting call. They were going all over the country and had absolutely no interest in it. And then I was in this comedy improv class at ABC run by the wonderful and talented Bill Hudnut, who's no longer with us. He's great guy, yeah. And the producer showed up, and they wanted to find people, and they asked me if I'd be interested in testing for this new thing they were doing. And they told me what it was, and I literally, the words came out of my mouth, that's the stupidest freaking thing I've ever heard. And I didn't say freaking. And so sure enough, like 4 or 5 days later, we were screen testing.
Wow.
And, you know, I don't know, I just just thought, why remake something that was so cool anyway? You know?
Right.
But, yeah, that's it.
And now here we are, Larry.
So, did you feel guilty of doing it?
I just felt weird. I was like, I always thought we were going to be called the Haircuts or something else. You know, we weren't going to be. I thought that was just a ruse, a way of sucking people in from the guys who did the Monkeys. Here's some new Monkeys, but we're going to call them the Dudes.
Yeah.
Instead, we're the new something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, first off, did you guys know that the New York auditions were a publicity stunt? They already, I had heard that they pretty much had to pick at the litter of what they wanted from L.A. So
that's shocking. It's as if Hollywood has their own rules.
So I, like the other guys, saw the ad on MTV, but I really didn't think about it much until the typical, well, the story, the old cliche story.
You have to
two
project.
Tickets on the project. Table. Mom and dad bought tickets. It'll be a good opportunity for you.
Have they apologized yet?
I did.
Okay.
Because I don't think they thought I'd ever make it. So, but that's how I got into it, really. And then we went to the second stage of the auditions.
Yeah, right? That was funny. Yeah.
Pass.
All right. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry, Marty. We'll get to you in a minute.
Well, I think we know what happened.
Yeah,
we. I got the gig.
Yeah, you got the gig.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, Marty, you're being a. But where did you hear about? Oh, they came to you.
They came to him.
Okay, let me tell you what happened.
Right.
Oh. So.
All right.
They called his feet.
Okay, Dino, you tell my story.
Okay. So, Marty was selected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I was. you know, I was in L.A. I was a musician. I was established. I was like, I was one of those people that they were taking a look at. I had originally done Matt Fassberg and Victor Fresco had done a done a Kodak commercial, and they asked my band The Wigs to go try out for that. When we went and tried out for that, they said they sparked something. And months later, when they got hooked up with Blauner to do the New Monkees,
right,
they went, what about those guys in the Wigs? And
well, let's break them up and steal Marty.
Yeah, that's kind
of Hollywood.
And you know, the weird thing is that, it was kind of strange. I went to the Columbia lot, and literally, this has been told so many times, but it bears saying one more time that on the side of the trailer, there was a red Monkees guitar logo with a marker "new" above it. Like, and I thought, ooh, this is lots of money in this.
They spent half the budget.
And in the trailer, I heard it. Guy walks out and goes, assholes. And I walked in there and I literally said, what makes you, and it was Matt Fassberg, he says, what makes you want to become one of the New Monkees? I said, I don't want to. I said, I don't want to, because an actor friend of mine earlier said, if you walk into an audition wanting something, the strange thing about Hollywood is that 90% of the time, if you show that you're really eager to want something, they don't give it to you. If you don't care about something, they sit there and, wait a minute, we're offering them all these riches,
and he doesn't want it.
Take note.
Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of like I said no, and I said complete. I said again, they said no. I said no, and then I said, well, the when it got down to be about five or six of us, I went, well, yeah, maybe. I'm unemployed right now.
Like we were all meeting each other and right. kind of doing.
Well, what was it like as they narrowed it down to the four of you? You know, do you remember?
We auditioned. Right. Together in on the set of the new Gidget show.
Yeah, they were mixing us. There was a bunch of dudes.
Right.
And they were just like doing little recipes. Hey, let's take Boogaloo Shrimp and Dino and Larry.
Right.
Let's take Marty and Jared and Ed.
Dean.
Or Ed.
Right.
And they were just doing these combinations.
To see who had chemistry and who didn't.
Yeah.
And that's where
yeah.
Bill Hudnut was.
Yeah, well, Bill was directing Hudnut, it. Yeah. Bill was directing the screen test.
And he had this great laugh. Anytime that, like, you know, if you did something funny,
right.
he would go,
ha! So you'd hear that way off in the dark, and you didn't know what was going on. But if you heard that,
you're like,
I'm golden.
I'm good. So now while that was happening, because there were nine of us at that time, right? When we were.
You kind of got doing paired down.
Right.
Yeah.
So
somewhere
I
there's five guys going, oh,
who's the other
shit.
Guys? Brad Pitt. And
yeah, right.
And Antonio Banderas.
Banderas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. But he was still playing with the English, so, you know.
But I'll tell you, I was standing on the sidelines while I think Jared and Larry were doing their audition thing, and Boogaloo Shrimp was right next to me, and I don't know his
real name.
He was
a breakdancer.
Right.
He was a breakdancer from
Breaking Two Electric Boogaloo.
Right. One and two.
So... But check this out. But this guy was such a pro because, so I'm standing there watching like Jared and Larry go. And then all of a sudden, from behind me, somebody comes up and like, and does this to me. And I like looked up and it was Blauner with a pipe. And then he did the tap to me and then he walked away. And Boogaloo turns to me and he goes, dude, you're in. And I was like, huh? He goes, I'm telling you, that was the guy. That was, you're in. I'm like, eh.
And now you look like him.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were close.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. I got these points.
Oh, I bet you do.
That's cool.
All right, so they narrowed it down. It's the four of you guys. Do you remember your feelings at the time when you realized it was going to be the four of you? What went through your heads when you realized, all right, it's us?
Well, I knew that I needed to make the most money.
Okay.
Because I didn't.
Because your car,
my car got hit
twice.
Yeah.
Oh, he's milked that for 30 years.
Six days.
Did you ever get it fixed? Seriously?
I did, because it drove me out here.
You drove that car out here.
Yeah, and Blauner kissed it when I drove out. He was like,
I could be wrong, but this is the way I remember it.
Oh.
Us,
I'll tell you.
The three of us knew.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But poor Marty here.
Poor Marty.
The one that was selected.
Right. So
there's one other guy.
Right. So we knew we had
Ed from Boston.
So they get this great idea. Well, let's take Larry.
Right.
And let's get him drunk. So we
wait.
Do you remember this?
Hollywood.
Right, your kids are here, bro.
I know, but they need to hear this because they're going to hear it anyways.
Oh, and Larry's kids. So, I'll tell you other great stories too.
But what was the hotel? Toluca Lake.
Toluca Lake. Okay. Yeah, the Toluca Inn.
Do you remember this?
Toluca Inn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't drink.
Oh yeah, you did.
Not up to then. But anyways, Marty says, so what do you like? And the first thing that popped into my mind was Sambuca.
Right. Oh, that's the Italian version of Ouzo.
Yes.
For you people.
That's puke juice.
I didn't know that Marty was going to congratulate me with an entire bottle. So that was my christening into the whole show.
Right.
But I actually walked into the apartment about an hour after everything was over. Or not the apartment, but the room. I puked over the entire middle of the larger area.
I went in and cleaned it up.
I left.
He did leave.
It's like that Team America puke thing. Have you ever seen that?
I called Freedom Isn't Free. The concierge guy. Puking. I said, "There's been an accident in my room. I can't sleep here.
I pissed myself.
They changed me into another room."
He literally turned into a vom wheel.
It was terrible.
That's funny.
I learned a lot. Kids don't.
Yeah.
You think that was a harbinger for what was to come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when we got to know each other a lot was when we went first with New York. We were all selected. And then the next day when they knew who we were, when it was just strange because our tickets were A1, A2, A3, A4, the first seats on first class in a plane.
I never flew first class.
No, but not even that. But A1, I mean, this is like the night before. So it just tells you that the first class seats are a little flexible. We need A1, A2, A3, A4. These are the new monkeys. And we're sitting there going like this. Hey, I'm Marty. You're Larry. Which one was you? And literally, we're flying there, and then they get us rooms. We get into New York, and they give us a room at rooms at the Ritz-Carlton,
right,
facing over Central Park, and we are silly. We are just silly because, oh, in the next 15 minutes, this magazine's coming in. And the next 15 minutes, is that's coming. And next thing like that, and tomorrow at 6 a.m., you've got to be on the Today Show.
But you guys hadn't spent any time together.
Not really, no.
Just the audition process.
We had done audition process, but this was it. It was like, okay, you know, do you all like girls like me? And what's that? I mean, is everybody straight? Let's get that through.
I think I touched you, and that's why you were wondering.
Well, I was, you know, you got to get
a touchy guy.
If that's the obvious thing, you know.
See what we're dealing with here.
We're all going to be famous together, so we might as well get that out.
You like me?
You know, who I'm going to bunk with.
And I think I introduced myself as, hi, I'm Mickey.
Yes, you did.
I did. Right? Yeah. I remember that.
I know, and I looked and I went,
Davey.
Really, they didn't really do that.
No.
Because I thought that, you know.
Right.
So we got to know each other
quickly.
Through the fire, so if like, you know, everybody taking pictures of us. Look, this is just odd, but if you're all of a sudden you're catapulted up into stardom,
right?
Which is like what happened to us. From this is literally those I'm going to make you a star kid kind of thing,
right?
And we're literally sitting there that night upstairs at the Hard Rock Cafe. Because we'd done a world conference premiere before that.
On MTV.
MTV. And so we're there. They said, you guys go upstairs. Because these guys, none of them can drink. So but this is the real true thing of Hollywood. It's
quickly.
Okay, you guys. You guys are on a TV show. You can drink.
Right.
Just
you
not in front of everybody else.
You can do whatever you want upstairs.
So it's the four of us just sitting there going like this. We're going, nobody else. Not a soul upstairs. Every once in a while, a waitress comes by and says, do you want another drink? And it's like, what is this about?
And see, and the thing is, it seems normal now. It's normalized, but back in like 1986,
right?
You know what I mean? There weren't, you know, it wasn't there wasn't The Voice, the making of the bet. You know what I mean? The whole become famous quickly type thing happening.
They had Star Search.
Yeah, but that was about
it. Wasn't that big of a deal?
It wasn't that big of a deal. Nobody cared about Star Search.
American Idol, and
right.
Right.
So you say you can. dance.
Or I guess what I'm saying is that being thrusted into that kind of predicament wasn't normal.
No, a bunch of people got together and said, we're going to pretend you're famous, and we're going to try to convince everybody
else
that
you are,
and we're going to pray that you do something to stay.
That's somebody buys the crap.
Right. Yeah,
right.
That's kind of what
without any coaching, without any training, nothing. They're just like, here you go, guys.
Go.
Right.
Well, first they introduce us to the planet. Yeah. Then came the coaching and the team dynamic and months of improv training together and
that came together. Oh, by the way, months of improv training, then to go sit and read scripts.
Yeah. And playing. I mean, we spent 6 weeks
here's
writing
a script.
Songs and playing together and recording them. And then we spent, how long? Two different times for like a month just doing improv.
So obviously the chemistry worked because there's kind of lightning in a bottle with the four of you. But
I don't think you should use that term. That term is always used when they're comparing like the monkeys to new monkeys. I'm just saying.
Sorry,
The lightning in a bottle?
Yeah, you can't do it twice, bro.
But it's a different bottle.
It is.
Yeah, okay, then. Yeah.
Completely awesome.
All right.
Yes.
So let's just say there's obviously a connection between the four of you by virtue of what you went through, but the chemistry that the producers found, it just worked, right? What was the common denominator? What did you guys? Where was the bonding?
Music, probably. We all kind of had a thing about music. We all loved music,
right?
Larry was pretty damn accomplished for his age. He was young, but he knew how to play. Jared had a feverish affection for anything that was rockabilly and authentic, as did Dino.
Right.
And so what we all kind of surmised with that was that what we had a basis of was, as funny as it sounds, but being in the New Monkees, if we could make as authentic music as possible. Which is because
ironic as hell.
Well, because you can't back up past that point. You know, you sit there and say, are you going to be like this or are you going to be like that? How authentic are you going to be? Well, as the New Monkees, you're going to say, we want our music to be authentic. All the stuff we did on camera and stuff like that was concocted. And some of it was like, some of it that we would do would be off, that we do, we would make actually the whole cast, the people in the crew laugh. And then they'd say you have to stop and they'd cut and go, why?
That's not in the script.
Right.
No, just follow the script.
But you guys all laugh.
We had the whole crew peeing in their pants in between takes.
Yeah.
And then, okay, rolling. Ready, everybody?
And then it was
then action, and we have to, like...
My car got hit twice.
Hey, that shit was funny.
No,
but that was real.
See, that's the thing.
I'm talking about the episodes. I mean, Marty. The writing quality was really... It's like everybody who had a hobby got a job on the New Monkees and the, like, production high-tier level.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, I had a buddy I went to high school with. He once read a comic book. He'd be great on the writing staff. You know, and I had these friends, like whacked out real writers, Jeremy and Rocky, you know, and they were real writers. And I said, hey, we should try something. You know, and we're all fans of the Young Ones, and they wrote a couple of episodes.
Right.
They wrote All My Martys. Well, that's a real episode with a real story and things that happen. And if you hold that up to some of the other episodes, they're just killing time, you know.
Right.
So the point was...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As organically, we always had a great time, and if you were around us, you would probably enjoy it.
Sure.
The crew certainly did, but as soon as those cameras rolled, what we were left with was trying to breathe life into something that really wasn't that, you know, tight.
And to add to that, I could be wrong, but these two guys seem to have a natural gift to acting.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't.
Oh, I was.
That was awesome. Oh, no.
But what would actually happen is when the cameras weren't rolling, we were ourselves.
Right.
And that, I think, was exactly what, to respect them, you know, the producers saw that initial test. So you saw it in between the camera rolling all the time, and that was just us working together and talking and having a good time.
Right.
If you had the script in front of us and Marty and I were going to read it and do something,
we weren't really.
Hello, Larry. How are you doing today? Yeah. You want another take of that? Oh, hello, Larry. How are you doing today?
Seriously. Larry, can you say a place to play? A place to play?
Marty was hilarious. See? When the cameras were not rolling.
Yeah.
And oh, I always felt that they
so not true.
It. You know, whether it was the directors or the producers, because Marty's fucking—he's funny.
Because I want to hear these stories. When
but you
got to
understand
rolling.
Something. The camera's on now. This ain't happening. Yeah. Turn the shit off, and we'll be funny.
We're like that dancing Warner Brothers frog. Right? Hello, my darling. And there's like, okay, roll.
Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
Anyways, so I think they failed in that sense where they didn't. They didn't know.
They weren't paying top dollar for like experienced writers. They were like giving buddies a chance, and some buddies were
really
were
good,
better than
some
others.
Buddies
right?
Weren't.
Right. So you did the best with what you had.
That's just what it is.
So you go into this. You guys are young. You're like, this is really cool. You're thrust into what appears to be stardom. When do you start to realize it's going off the rails?
What?
You mean we're not still on the rails? I thought once we got on the rails, it's
so the answer is now, is what you're saying, Jay. Yeah.
Actually, he knew it before anybody, right? You knew.
Yeah, I had a really kind of sinking feeling that this.
He'd been in something before that was filmed.
Yeah, I'd done a couple of projects and nothing real big, but I'd been immersed in either trying to get a job,
right,
doing a job, or just learning about the industry. Like if I had a day on a movie, I'd hang out for a week. They'd have to tell me to go, hey, what are you still doing here? Right. I just thought I'd hang out and see, you know, what's going on, how it's done, and blah, blah. I never sat in a trailer. I went to the set if I wasn't being used because I want to know what the deal was.
Right.
And I had this sinking impression that things weren't being run correctly, and in some cases just, you know, just they weren't making the kinds of decisions like on writing and things like that. Mm-hmm. We all loved the short films. They were really fun for
those
us,
were the
but
best.
If you look at them, like instead of building a storyline with characters that you care about and you learn about, and after a couple of weeks you want to see them every week, they kept breaking us off on going singleton to go ride a cow, go be a spy.
I was a hobo.
Yeah, you were a hobo.
I was a fisherman.
But, yeah, and there'd be a couple of these segments, and, you know, and like the story'd be 11 minutes, then you got right. two of these things, and then you
music
got
a video.
And then a music video, right?
Hey, well, how about one of those, another 3 minutes of story, and then a video, you know? And but it was like that experimental thing in the 60s, which they all sort of clung on to, they did it within an episodic story arc.
Because right. they cared. They cared about the characters.
In our cases, it became this just disintegrated structure of, you know, you're going here, you're going there, you're going there. And it's like, well, when are we going to be new monkeys, you know?
We were never together.
We were never monkeys, Jared.
Unless we're, like, you know, in that 10-minute storyline.
Right.
Or playing music.
So I'm getting
there was a whole
I'm getting depressed.
There. And some of it I realized then,
hey, baby,
organically,
can you give me
it was appealing. Right. But then later on, as I became, you know, working on other projects and seeing how things run smoothly, how a project comes together and it becomes good and well executed.
You start piecing together the Rubik's Cube and you're like, oh, that's what went wrong.
I'm getting the impression that, I don't know, the show got canceled?
We'll get you back to the mansion in an hour, Marty. You'll be fine.
Where's Red? He needs his medicine, man. Yeah. Come on, man. It's in the jungle room. But the thing with it at the same time is we all really dug being together and working
right.
together. So it was a feeling, and you didn't want to be a downer and, like,
right.
you know, so there's that hope.
Right. So, okay, so there's that, and you start to, you're understanding what happened, but the four of you have this chemistry and a sound that you kind of like. Did you look at each other and go, maybe we ought to keep this going?
We have been, Tim.
Every 15, 20 years.
Every 10 years.
I don't know, if you don't have that kind of commitment, I don't know. I'm sorry in your life, but that's okay. But we get together.
We take this seriously.
You don't see the new Monsters gang getting together.
No. That's an excellent point. You know? That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
put me in my place.
It also explains the New Monkees a little bit better in context, because if you take a look at just the television season for 1987, it's incredible, the new shows, the Monsters Today.
New Odd Couple.
Yeah, New Odd Couple.
That was supposed to be me and Larry.
Yeah.
Hey, but anyway.
They all can't work.
New Us. I mean, there's a lot of
New Coke.
New Coke.
It was the regurgitation period of television, Tim. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
We did have that experience, though, where all of us were probably
very regurgitating.
Yeah, we were dating. I was taking my date. I was like, you know, I'm in a TV show, New Monkees. I'd like to know if you want to go on a date. Sure. So why don't we go out to a movie? And knowing full well that there's going to be a commercial beforehand with the New Monkees promoting New Coke, and sit there and I go in the theater. You want to just sit there to the table, sit to the seat, and this, she's down there, she's got her popcorn and this, and I'm just waiting for the thing to come on, and it, oh, of course, the LA Times ad, this and that, and all of a sudden, it's, turn it up! It's New Coke and the New Monkees! And hey, and they come from Earth, and they're all drinking like this, and it goes, turn it up! Look for the New Monkees this fall! And it goes to dark, and the girl next to me is like all of a sudden downgraded me from a possible boyfriend to a C, not a 3-hour date.
Just pay for my movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a lot of when you, those. This is the next question you had was when did you think it was not working?
Yeah.
Huh, sure.
Then. Right then.
Right then. Right then. At that point when I went
out there.
When
Marty wasn't going to get laid, it was all over.
I didn't do that with women then. I was looking for approval. No, it got to be so pathetic at some points because you sat there and the show was moved from 7:30 till 1:30 in the morning on in L.A. And I found that the only place to impress girls anymore was to go to a bar and have them turn it on. You know, hey, we're closing, folks. No, turn it on. We're coming on. It's like, and it's a first run show at 1:30 in the morning. I think we kind of. I helped other people said,
flight, which is known for being a night show.
Yeah, my friend who listened somewhere in Tennessee said that your show was on at 2:30 on Wednesday afternoons, and I was like, "You're going, yeah, 2:30. Kids can't be home at 2:30. When is who's going to be watching?
We were
at
going
2:30?
For the moms.
Yeah,
well, yeah. You got them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, but we weren't expecting so late. Jesus, Tim.
All right. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We had our best rating. I don't know if anybody knows, but our best rating was at 1:30. And remember, this is 1987, so grunge was just about going. 1:30 in the morning in Seattle.
Which was really, really strange because if I remember right, the single charted completely on the opposite side of the country. Right?
Yeah.
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. Well, I think at 1:30 in Seattle, like the shrooms were really kicking
in. And then we were also big in
other short films.
We were also big in San Francisco.
Yeah. And some other.
Yeah. But San Francisco was kind of like there's this thing
Ghana.
With four young boys.
Ghana.
Starring
in
as
Ghana.
We were big in Ghana.
We were massive in Ghana. I'm not kidding.
How's our Facebook page coverage in Ghana? They love us.
We were like Jerry Lewis of Ghana.
Wow.
Big deal.
Hey, here's a story. I don't know. Remember, I called you actually when this guy got a hold of me on, I think, YouTube, and he told me the story. He was one of the people who he was in Iraq.
Oh, yeah. He was a door kicker in a unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he busted in on these bomb makers. I'm not kidding. The guy, the bomb maker, was listening to the New Monkees. And the guy who kicked in the door was like, "Where'd you get that?" He goes, "I love this. I love this." So this guy, found me, and he was like, "Okay."
But the good part is that he didn't know Ahmed the bomb builder did not know we had broken up. So
everybody wave at Ahmed who's watching
door,
right now.
Not only did he get to capture this guy, he got to break the news. No.
That his favorite band had broken up. Right.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. They don't play anymore. Oh, yeah. That's kind of how I felt when I found out that the Monkees, because, you know, I watched the Monkees on reruns, and then I remember seeing a magazine, like 16, and I remember seeing like the Monkees looking older. It was Dolan Jones' Voice and Heart.
Right.
And I'm like, what's this? And I opened it up, and I'm like, what? The Monkees, it's not now? Like, I thought the Monkees, when I was watching them,
right.
I thought, oh, I'm yeah, watching it was like, a show now.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, they're wearing plaid stuff, and, you know, it's the way it is. Yeah. And it broke my heart when I found out that the Monkees were canceled. At any rate.
But not when we were canceled.
I didn't give a shit about that.
I was happy to be
you brought
put
out
of my
16
misery.
Magazine. You guys were in. You had a couple of issues of 16 Magazine.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
What kind of? I almost hate to ask this, but what kind of response did you get?
Well, Larry was the heartthrob.
Yes, Larry was the heartthrob.
Actually, my daughter found out for the first time I had a picture next to River Phoenix. And that's her favorite.
So let me tell you, River cool Phoenix dad. Is no longer around, but your dad still is. Yeah. I'm just saying. And that's because he's not drinking.
My cousin, who was 14 at the time, I went down to visit them in Fallbrook, and my aunt and uncle, and I went to visit her, and we went and said, well, let's go. Go get some beer or some drink. We don't have anything here. And I said, I'll go. I've got money now. I take my cousin with me. We'll go get beer. And I go like this into the thing. I ask for my ID. And I said, I don't have any ID. And my cousin goes, oh, yes, you do. She goes, she picks out about 7 magazines. There he is. See, he said, awesome. And it was like the girl that there said, wow, you really can drink. I'm like, yes, it's okay. So
says here you're 27.
Yeah. Right.
Or something.
Damn it.
So, you know, that was a weird thing. It was, that's a thing with fame. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Was there another question?
Are we still on the 16 magazine thing?
We're on the 16 magazine.
I got
magazine.
A quick one.
Yeah, go.
So the girl that I was dating, who later became my wife...
You dated her too?
She was awesome, wasn't
wow,
she?
Wow, Marty. Wow.
Shots fired.
Kelly's going to kick your ass for that one.
Live on TV.
Right. So I had dated her prior to being on a failed television show. And then while I was doing the show, she had a boyfriend here. And she actually picked up 16 Magazine in front of her boyfriend. How'd that story go? Selena, how'd that story go? Oh. Well, it was Teddy, her boyfriend Teddy.
I'm not your father.
Right. Anyways, so it kind of felt good because...
You embarrassed him.
I
cock-blocked the dude with 16 Magazine from 3,000 miles away.
Yeah. Well, actually, he was in California.
All right.
So it was probably like 500 miles.
Still.
Okay, that's my 16 magazine.
We got a few minutes left.
We got a few minutes left. All right, so...
Come on. Get down to the nitty-gritty, Tim.
What nitty-gritty do you want to share, Dino?
Well, I was washing my underwear.
Yes.
When...
That is incredibly nitty-gritty.
No, I remember Marlon Staggs, the line producer, calling me because Larry Saltis was late. It was either Larry or Marty, because those two were the prima donnas on the show. So,
Change.
Well, you know... Like,
wait a minute.
What?
There's no icing on a stack of shit.
You'll see. Every music video, me and Jared are always there, except for when I had pneumonia and Steve Herniak wore the head thing.
The fish head.
But you'll see on some music videos.
Steve Herniak was the one wearing the
fish head.
Thing
fish head.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. But Jamie Muttner, who's
right
here.
Right there. Ladies and gentlemen, the fifth new monkey.
The fifth new monkey.
Do you remember him on the keyboards?
Every he was on the keyboards.
That's the...
Not only that, but on one... What music video, like, were you
he
sick?
He had a blonde
where
wig
He had
on.
A blind wig and he was doing this. Mm-hmm.
And it's not Larry. Which... What movie? What video?
The Del Rubio. Oh,
trailer. So it was the same one.
Jared, too. You played Jared on the black and on the heat vision.
Oh, right.
Vision,
on the heat vision
desire.
Thing. Ding, ding.
Yeah. So that's
ding,
him ding, playing the ding.
What?
Ding,
yeah.
Ding.
On the heat vision one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you he weren't there like, for the heat vision.
No, he was. Remember they had his penis show up on the...
Oh, hey! That's not true, kids. It might have been, but it's not true.
Oh, no, those were...
Fake
no,
news.
No.
I might be wrong.
No, there were additional shots.
They
went back to get it.
He stunt doubled me.
Right.
That's right. It was yours.
That's right. Because
it's, you know, yeah.
Right, so, Tim, what was the other nitty gritty?
I'm asking you for nitty gritty, but I think we're running out of time. Well, yeah, you know, so I want to. So,
Joan Salta stole my phone.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I was thinking it.
Don't lay anything down in front of her. Take it.
No, I give it to her. Go ahead. Anyways.
All right. So you've got this room full of people who have assembled 30 years later. What does that feel like, man?
Well, here, I want everybody in this room just to know that I brought some stuff from the New Monkeys Museum. So you guys can each take
a
look
the one
at this.
In Wilshire?
Yeah.
Because this is really funny stuff.
For you to look.
This
through.
Has Colex. And it's what they use, I guess, as promotional stuff to actually try to sell. You'll
see
this.
I've never seen it.
It's so funny because it has like biographies, but I don't want people to mess this up. It's funny stuff. And then on top of that, there's this thing.
Cash says
the fun is back.
Right.
Right. And it was in my garage, so it's a little digital.
Right.
But sorry, Jerry.
That's quite all right.
This is on here.
Dino's now holding posters.
Ladies and gentlemen,
as you see by those flow chart, Senator, we have no recollection.
We have, stuff like this.
But what we would like to point out is explosives were not. No, they were used, actually. They were explosives.
And as Marty pointed out earlier, that was like us kind of saying that we're going to bomb.
Yeah.
So,
moving
off camera.
Let's flip it over.
Well, that's Nicaragua.
Yay! Jared provided the munitions.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, here's another one. As you can see, I really want it to bomb.
Yeah.
And Marty doesn't want it to bomb.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, and Jared and Liz, I don't think they care.
Now, the fun part about these pictures is I and Larry have no recollection of shooting. Shooting these pictures, don't remember anything.
Oh, this is the monkeys. We don't care about them today. Hold on. So let's go.
No, it's on camera.
Oh, where's the video?
What? I'm just saying.
No, come on.
Hey, look, buddy. Nobody's paying $50 for a picture here.
Look at here. Look how I want to see how happy
Jared
is. Shots
from New Orleans.
Yes.
That was from the television convention.
Yes.
Wait a minute. An original loco. Wait a minute. Where's our original loco?
This is the picture that I hate the most. Yeah. I let one woman do my hair one time. One time.
But there's a lot that's wrong.
She's from TV
Guide. There's a lot that's wrong with this picture. What? Besides your hair.
Yes, besides my hair.
A person got fired for dressing us like this.
It's true.
Somebody and I'd like to believe that she chose something else to do with
You know
her,
what this is? You know, for my ear, that would be my four sons.
With her life.
It's the update.
Right.
So it doesn't look too enticing.
You
rock and roll.
We got to just dress the way we
Yeah, this is the infamous one. We don't care about this one either.
See how we look like monkeys hanging off of things? Yeah. Right? Yeah, big concepts.
Oh, there's one coming up that I know you guys are going to. This one. This is
Growing. Under.
Yeah. Senator, we have no recollection of being in the Old West.
I was not there at the time.
They put me in. I'm the only one wearing underwear.
I was not
underwear.
Part of this.
Yeah. Why?
Your Honor.
Yeah. And it looks like Jared should be in Tombstone.
Yeah. At this point, Senator, Colonel North was in charge of the program. And we weren't aware of the contrast.
Keith, can you see that?
Yeah.
Anyway,
your bright future.
Real proud of that one.
I was told that Fred Gwynn wanted to be on the show.
Back to the original question, how do we feel about all these people getting together? Because we kind of went off on a new monkey spiel. We're really honored, and it's really special.
This is really cool. Actually.
And it's sweet to have you guys here, and you guys out there, too. But really, in this room, to make the effort, we get to see each other every couple months. Somebody has to die, or we have to play for the four of us.
Wait a minute.
Like, I could be in my darkest moment, and he'll text me. You know, so it's cool. So it means a lot.
We, Jared had a tough time. And
acting!
So we got a place to play?
What? A place to jam? No, really, this is actually really, it's It's really cool.
So what's the next on the schedule? Should we go play? Should
yeah, you guys are going to play in just a little bit.
Go play.
Why don't we go play?
Why don't we just go? Why don't we just like say cut the bullshit? Why don't we just go play some songs?
Yeah.
Good. And then we can.
Although the beat
here's
is
the idea. This is what it is. I don't. Eating these guys eating pizza and then touching my guitar.
This doesn't sit well.